In the aftermath of the 2026 legislative session, we here on Melissa in the Morning are focusing on what did and did not make it to the finish line and the impact that this session will have on our state. And look, it is no secret. I talk about it a lot on this show. I think we have some major issues when it comes to best protecting all children in Connecticut. Specifically, we have some major issues with DCF. And look at what's going on right now. Forget even the cases that have been brought up in the last year and a half. Some of those then leading to homeschooling legislation, for example. Let's look at what is literally going on in real time as we are about to talk to Senator Marr. There was a baby in 2015 thrown from a bridge to his death. A baby here in Connecticut. And DCF admitted earlier this week, testifying in front of a court, testifying that there were red flags. They never did an in-person meeting with the father, who committed the crime, by the way. There was a lot that needed to be done, and it wasn't necessarily that workers didn't follow protocol, but it absolutely screams that we have a broken system in place and a lack of leadership to some degree with DCF. And so I've been very focused on DCF oversight, and so have some senators in Connecticut. We talked to Senator Perillo a lot. We also check in, though, with Senator Cece Marr from Wilton, who co-chairs the legislature's Committee on Children. And in fact, Senator, I want to thank you for coming on, obviously, right after finishing up a session. But I first spoke with you, I think, when both you and Senator Perillo had done a joint call with DCF. This was, I think, a summer ago. And you guys both had highlighted, while both from different parties, that DCF needs attention. DCF needs, you know, needs some work to some degree. And so I thank you for coming on to talk about this oversight bill for DCF.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, Melissa.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, I'm glad to talk with you as well. So tell us a little bit about this oversight bill. It did make it to the governor's desk, correct?
Well, it has been sent to the governor's. He's going to be very busy now that the session ended at midnight on Wednesday, signing bills. But yes, we fully expect it to be signed. And it's important because this, as you mentioned, the Children's Oversight Committee that is going to be put in place, the Welfare Policy and Oversight Committee, and that is going to be effective as soon as it is signed. We're going to put in place this committee with legislative members similar to the Juvenile Justice and Policy and Oversight Committee and the TCB, which is Children's Behavioral Health Committee, which I'm one of the co-chairs of. What putting a legislative person on the committee does is when we see what the issues are up close, and we quickly put together legislation for the following session. So that's where the benefit is of having legislators on this committee, along with, of course, people from the community, affected people, and people who, sorry, it's, as you said, legislative session just ended, and I'm still a little bleh, foggy. But so putting together this, so that we are getting a full view from DCF, because we're very concerned about what's happening. And it just seems to be, despite the fact that we hear that they have policies and procedures in place, we're concerned that those are not being followed, and maybe they're not the right ones.
There was an effort by Senator Perillo to also require more in-person work. In fact, Christina Guillo, who comes on the show pretty frequently, she actually was on earlier this week, the acting child advocate. She has acknowledged that there's a lot of work that is done by DCF remotely. And to some degree, I know there's a lot of controversy around remote working. I actually think that in some way, remote working is great for so many jobs, and even to some degree, DCF. However, I think if you bring up again this case out of 2015 that is now in the courts, that to me is a great example of where, how in the world did we not have an in-person meeting with the person who less than a month later, after being on DCF's radar in some regard, killed his child. And so I do wonder why that didn't get more attention. The idea of getting away from more remote work, or even if you bring up the case of Mimi in New Britain and DCF thinking that they were talking to her over a video call. But it was never her. She had already passed away months earlier. Why that didn't get more, I would say, support?
Well, so I think that you need to look at a couple of different things. I've talked with caseworkers at DCF, caseworkers and social workers. When they're doing remote work, they are more often than not working from home on records and notes. This
Correct.
Is not about keeping them out from seeing the children and seeing the families and, you know, walking into the family environment for oversight. That is not what is happening. These DCF workers are working 12 hours a day in some instances, 9 to 12 hours a day. And they, to be able to do that at home, as many of us do, including those of us in the legislature, that is something that I just couldn't see getting that deeply into the weeds that I'm going to start structuring a caseworker's life in that way and insisting that they be in the office rather than working from home when they're starting at 6 in the morning or ending at 10 o'clock at night.
And so I'm with you, Senator. I actually, one of my longest friendships, she works for DCF. She's been with DCF for well over a decade now. And you're correct. She works first thing in the morning until late at night, and having the availability to be able to do it is a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of case work. But when she's got to show up to court, she shows up to court. When she's got to remove a child from a home, she goes to the home. So you're correct. Absolutely. I've seen it in real time. But is there anything that requires, again, that loophole there? I mean, if you look at the Mimi situation where it was a video call that was done with somebody who was not her. She'd already passed away months earlier. Do we have anything that addresses that? Because that, to me, does seem like it should be done in person. I agree. If it's administrative work, totally, no problem. I don't think you need to be in an office space and have camaraderie and all that. But I do think if you are checking to see the well-being of a child or you're checking to see if a parent is dangerous, that can't be done remotely.
So that's a very good point, and that is something that we included in this bill 5004 is a process by which if a child that is taken out of state, a process by which you connect with the child protection services in that state. And if you cannot get sufficient information from the other state on the child, then it sets up a process by which we can have greater oversight over the child who's been taken away. Because the issue with Mimi Torres, as you said, the fact that they were speaking to someone who wasn't even a child is not acceptable. And that's what we were trying to address also in this bill.
So this bill, just to make sure I understand this, Senator Marr, this bill does say, let's say if we, God forbid, we ever have another case like Mimi, I hope to God we don't. But in that situation, I mean, what can DCF effectively do? I think she was allegedly with a relative in Massachusetts. We know that wasn't the case. But if DCF finds out, hey, you know, this child is not here, they live in this state. I mean, are we creating a way for them to contact a DCF of that state to do in-person meetings? Like, how do we avoid that happening again?
Okay, so it's in Section 13. It's quite a long section. It says that the parent or guardian of a child who's subject of investigation must notify DCF when they leave. If the notice is not done, if they don't notify them, then they have to attempt, DCF has to attempt to contact the parent or the family member of the child on 3 consecutive days. If the location is known, they contact the child welfare in that state and request they do an in-person wellness check. And it actually has a component that they have to keep trying for 3 straight days. If not, then they were going to have to conduct, I'm trying to read this and talk to you at the same time. If none of these steps, if they are not able to get a hold of that child, then they're going to have to do the remote welfare check. But first step is getting eyes on the child through the local child protective services.
Right. But if DCF for 3 days straight doesn't know where this child is, then they contact the state where the child allegedly is?
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
And then the request, and this happens across states when necessary. It's part of the interstate compact where another state will go out and send a worker to see that child.
We are chatting with Senator Cece Maher from Wilton, who's also the co-chair of the legislature's Committee on Children. And one piece of legislation that has really captured my attention and certainly listeners here on WACC, Senator, is the DCF oversight bill. And I so appreciate you talking about this because I think it really matters. I think we need to give attention to DCF. And I want to make it super clear, as I mentioned before, I have friends who actually work for DCF. So I don't want workers to feel like this is an attack on them. I do think the agency has failed many, many times. And I think there are systematic issues. And one that we're kind of talking through right now is, you know, if a kid kind of flies under the radar and ends up being out of state, how do we have in-person check-ins? And just to kind of get back to what you were saying, and I don't mean to harp on something and you know, I don't mean to go down a rabbit hole, but how did we come up with 3 days? Because I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but 3 days seems very long. So we're going to attempt for 3 days to figure out where a kid is if they weren't notified properly by parents who allegedly are not even treating their kid right. We're going to wait 3 days and then we're going to try to contact the state where this kid allegedly is to do a welfare check. And the only reason I say that is because if your credit card is being used in another country, most credit card companies are going to shut it down pretty quickly before you tell them, no, sorry, I forgot to tell you, I'm traveling to Florida this week. Or if you've got a kid that's been kidnapped and you immediately have the state police, you know, hey, we've got this missing person. Here's the, you know, the alert, you know, the Amber Alert, all of that. This to me just seems delayed. I mean, so much could happen in 3 days.
Well, you know, certainly that's, we know that in the most recent, well, not even the most recent, I'm not sure, case where the young girl, oh, I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl, so excuse me about that. When a child committed suicide after they were left in the home, when they asked to be taken into DCF custody, we know that within an hour, that young person committed suicide. So that is, certainly you bring up a good point about the 3 days, but there are processes that DCF has to go through, and I am unsure if those 3 days were part of a bigger picture that was part of their protocol, because I was not part of that negotiation. So I'd love to answer your question, Melissa, but I can't, and I'm not going to make it up.
No, I appreciate
that. I know that this is what it says, that the parents are supposed to notify before they leave the state, before any child residing in a household leaves the state for more than 14 days. They're supposed to. If they don't, then they are going to, the DCF will try and follow up for 3 days. And then if they can't get a hold of them, they will start reaching out to the state where the child is for the child protection workers there to make contact.
Yeah, I think you outlined something, though, really important, Senator, which is that you, again, are the co-chair of the Committee on Children, and you're somebody who has at least had the opportunity to speak with DCF, as I mentioned, so has Senator Perillo. But there's still this sense of this, like, mystery. Like, even the idea of, I think that might be, and I love the fact that you are so transparent and honest. That honestly means more to me than anything on this show. But it, like, that's alarming that we don't even know where that kind of came from, because it just feels like DCF to some degree is.
Can I stop you?
Sure.
I am sure that my co-chair, who was who brought this through the House, I am certain he knows where the 3 days comes from. And I'm sure that he pushed as hard as possible to have it be as fast as possible. Mm. But sometimes we are constrained by other things when we're putting legislation in place. So Representative Paris, who is just a champion for children, he negotiated this bill. This was his primary bill, a House priority bill. And if there's 3 days in here, it's there for a reason. So I'm not trying to, you know, defer in any way and not take responsibility. But I know that he pushed on every single section of this bill to make it as strong as possible within the parameters that we have. sometimes the parameters determine what we can do. So I hear you, and this is why we're putting the oversight committee in place. So when we start to drill down on all of this, working with DCF, working with members of the community, we can figure out why is it 3 days? And if this is written somewhere in a statute, then we have to change it. But so you have to understand, we do the bills, we do the legislation, we are working as hard as we can to make sure that we are as ironclad as possible. But sometimes 3 days is written somewhere that we will then have to go and change. So I get that. Put it in a perspective.
Yeah. No, and Senator Marr, I want to be super clear with you. I'm not saying that this is honestly a lawmaker's fault. If that came off that way, that's not what I'm saying. I don't think it falls on you or anybody that made this legislation. My thing is, this is, to me, DCF, it is bizarre to me that DCF is not more open and transparent in saying, hey, you know, you're willing to help us. Like, I understand they're understaffed, they are overworked. To my understanding, there's a lot of systems that have changed. The leadership, I mean, that's the leadership changed just last summer kind of abruptly. We have an interim who basically came out of retirement. My point being is, it is surprising to me for an agency that arguably is the most important in our state. It is such a mystery. I mean, I'm glad to know we passed something that's like, hey, we got to have oversight, because clearly we don't know enough of what's going on, because DCF, it just feels like, is not sharing enough.
Well, okay, so I just wanted to correct a couple things. One, the DCF commissioner was the chief counsel. She had been the DCF commissioner previously, and she is now not the interim. She is the commissioner. That legislation was passed.
So she's official. Okay. Yeah, that's news to me.
She's official now. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. I do think that there are, your points are well taken. I am very frustrated with DCF and upset with DCF about the way they are doing things. But I want to point to something else that's happening there. They have gone through a lot of transition. This is our third commissioner in the 4 years that I've been the co-chair of the Children's Committee. Now, two of the commissioners left to take national jobs because they are terrific and were really great. We are now in a position where we have 50% of our caseworkers are turning over. So part of this bill was to put in place internal mentoring for senior caseworkers with new caseworkers so that they can help them through, and we will close down the turnover. But another thing that was put in place was an internship program for someone working on their MSW or their BSW, and making sure that that person has an internship in DCF so that they get a view of what DCF is doing, so they know before they even take the job if this is right for them, to try and cut down on this turnover. And additionally, to give the, when you have an intern, because I was a social work intern when I was getting my MSW, I do know that that gives you extra sets of hands inside DCF to get the work done while they're learning and getting mentored as an intern. So we are working very hard to forestall this turnover and to right the ship back at DCF. And we will continue to do that work because it's just too important. Our children are too important.
Well, Senator Marr, I want to thank you for what you do, of course, co-chair of the Legislature's Committee on Children, and even just starting this conversation. We really appreciate it. And certainly I'm going to link the bill, probably soon to be law, to our website so people can read through it and understand it more. And I'm sure we'll have more conversations in the future. Thank you so much.